I now present to you the world-renowned psychoanalyst, university lecturer, and author of Escape from Freedom, The Sane Society, and numerous other books, Dr. Erich Fromm, who will talk to you on the relevance of socialism today. Dr. Fromm.
If we want to talk about the relevance of socialism today, we have to know what we mean by socialism. And this is rather difficult, because most people believe they know what socialism is, but they have learned it not from socialists, but from the opponents of socialism, and from the opponents on two sides. They have learned it from the opponents who are opponents of socialism because they are for capitalism, and they have learned it from even a worse source, from the opponents of socialism who talk socialism and who have corrupted and transformed socialism and call it Soviet socialism or something like it. Hence, in order to talk about socialism's relevance for today, I have first to say a few words what socialism is not. Now remember, when I was a student over 40 years ago, that my professors and many other people talked about what the victorious socialism would mean in the world. They said it would mean centralization, bureaucratization, and uniformity. Well, I then didn't believe they were right, but I didn't know then that this was exactly what capitalism would mean in the middle of the 20th century. Uniformity, centralization, and bureaucratization of the world. And then there was another argument, which you hear today, every day, which is even stranger. And the argument is that socialism means materialism, that socialism is godless, that socialism has no respect for the soul, because Marx's philosophy is interpreted as meaning that the so-called materialism of Marx indicates or assumes that man's main motive is the motive for material gain, is the economic motive, and that is quite in contrast to our Western culture, which believes in the spirit and the soul. But the strange thing is that the very same people who reproach socialism for this so-called, for this materialism, for this assumption that man is driven primarily by economic gains, attack socialism for the very same reason as impractical, by saying that the profit motive is the only motive which can motivate man to do his best in the world, and that the whole era of socialism, even if it were theoretically desirable, is that practically it does not take into account human nature, which is such motivated, that only the desire for material gain is capable of stimulating man to make his very best effort. Well, one does not have to be a psychoanalyst and to deal with people who have mental difficulties to be convinced how unlimited man's capacity for double talk and rationalizations is, and without the awareness of what he is really saying and in what contradictions he gets involved. Now, this is the cliche of the anti-socialists on the pro-capitalist side. What is a cliché of the Soviet people, or not of the Soviet people, but of the people who claim they speak for the Soviet people? They say socialism means the socialization of the means of production and a planned economy. The Soviet Union has socialized the means of production, has a planned economy, hence the Soviet Union is a socialist system. Now, that sounds rather convincing, because it is true that in the socialist tradition there was a demand made for many, many years that socialism should socialize the means of production. But what these people and those who believe in their concept of socialism forget is that for Marx and for the following socialist generations, the socializations of the means of production was only a means to an end. The end was that men should be freed from being dominated by the private capitalistic owner and should be able to direct his economic activities himself. And they forget that in Soviet communism, the socialization of the means of production is a means to exactly the opposite end. To the creation of a centralized police state, a super cartel, and if you please, to a total General Motors, except that there are no unions and there is no right to strike. These are the concepts about socialism which most people hold, and I think, with the exception of the Bible perhaps, there is no idea about which one talks so much and knows so little than what is socialism and what were the ideas of Karl Marx. Now I should like to say a few words about what socialism is. I shall talk mainly about the socialism as Marx conceived it, because I believe this is the most developed and most profound and scientific form and expression of socialist theory. But I think we can see today that the differences between Marx and Owen and Fourier and Kropotkin and others, which were considered to be terribly relevant 100 years ago, are not as relevant as they seemed then. These people emphasized various aspects of socialism, and yet we can see that they shared a common idea and a common faith, and for us, this core of their faith is essential and not differences which are relatively minor. Let me try to define, or that is not quite the right expression, to describe certain aspects of what socialism is, rather than the misunderstood aspects of that which it is not. Socialism, you might say, wants to realize justice and human brotherhood. Hence, it wants a society in which nobody lacks the material basis for a dignified and rich human life, not only within our Western society, but within the whole world. Socialism wants a new form of society in which the individual has a chance to be truly independent, that is, to stand on his own feet. And I should like to quote here Marx, who says that to stand on his own feet is possible only if man owes his existence to himself. If he affirms his individuality as a total man in each of his relations to the world, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, thinking, willing, loving, in short, if he affirms and expresses all organs of his individuality. Indeed, the aim of socialism is individuality, not uniformity. Liberation from economic bonds, not making material aims the main concern of life. The principle of socialism is that each man is an end in himself and must never be the means to the ends of other people. The supreme principle of socialism is that man takes precedence over things, life over property, and hence work over capital. That power follows creation and not possession. That man must not be governed by things, bureaucracies, and circumstances, but that things and circumstances must be governed by him. And if I may just make this footnote, the extent to which man is today governed by the works of his own hands, by circumstances which have consolidated above and against him, the extent to which that has happened is so tragically shown in the power the bomb has over us, that here we are, the whole of humanity, being frightened of something we have created and struggling with the last ounce of force we have to avoid that the idols we created do not destroy us. Socialism, and this would be another definition, socialism aims at the extension of democracy beyond the purely political into the economic sphere. And socialism believes that the realization of democracy is not possible if this extension does not take place. I could still put the question of socialism in a different way, and I want to do that. In a way which Marx has emphasized in the tradition of Hegel, and in fact in the tradition which goes much further back. Socialism aims at the liberation of man from alienation, or if I would use a term of the Old Testament, of the prophetic literature, from idolatry. Naturally, in a short time it is not possible to give you a picture of what socialism is. But I would hope that some of you perhaps become curious to see that the picture of socialism, which I am trying to give here, and I have read Marx for the last 40 years quite thoroughly, is so entirely different from what your newspapers, your political leaders, and all sorts of people who claim to be experts on socialism say, that sheer curiosity might drive you to read some of Marx's works, some of your socialist literature. And today there's quite a number of anthologies in paperback which you can buy and read, and you will be at least surprised if you even might not agree. Incidentally, talking about literature, I want to mention that you can have some literature about socialism even without buying it. That is a platform, the 1960 platform of the Socialist Party. All you have to do is to write to the Socialist Party to send you without charge the 1960 Socialist Platform. The address of the Socialist Party is 303 4th Avenue, 303 4th Avenue, New York City. Now, let me say a few words why I believe socialism is relevant today. Socialism indeed tries to realize the basic values of Western civilization, the values which were expressed in prophetic messianism, in Christian messianism, in the Renaissance utopias, in the 18th century, ideas of democracy, and in the revolutions of that century. And indeed, we socialists believe that the capitalist system is in the process of losing these values and these ideas, in spite of the fact that he talks so much about them. Indeed, we claim that socialism is the new form in which the Western tradition can be realized and can be fulfilled, and that the capitalistic system has lost the capacity to achieve what it promises in this spiritual human sense. Capitalism today, our modern industrial society, if you don't like the word capitalism, and I don't underestimate the fact that capitalism today is quite different from capitalism of the 19th century, but we are not quibbling about words here, has indeed or isn't the process of producing machines who act like men and of producing men who act like machines. We are over the danger of becoming slaves, at least in the Western world, but we are indeed in very great danger of becoming robots, of becoming automatons. We approach indeed the brave new world, as Huxley has described it, a world of well-fed, well-clad, manipulated consumers, of people, if I could speak somewhat in Marxian terminology, who, objectively speaking, do not satisfy their interest as human beings, but who are under the illusion which is fed by our whole advertising and communications industry, that they are under the illusion that they are happy, that they are fulfilling that which they can expect from life. Marx has always emphasized, and I believe with very much reason, that the important thing in analyzing men, in analyzing any society, is to understand the conflict between subjective satisfaction and objective satisfaction, of what man believes to be good for him and what is realistically good for him. Today, much more easily than 100 years ago, any clever ad writer, any clever politician, any clever user and manipulator of symbols can persuade men to believe that the way he lives is good for him. And if one does not have a concept of man as the Western world has had it from the days of the Old Testament on until the 19th century, namely a concept of man which is not that of sociological relativism, which does not say everything is good for man which man enjoys, but which believes that men can be defined in certain ways and there are certain things which are objectively damaging to him. Unless one has such a picture, then indeed one can do anything with man, and if one is successful, one claims that man is happy. That is, I believe, the danger which we are confronted with, that we create a society of people whom we persuade that they are happy, that they fulfill the best man can fulfill, and yet who deep down fail to solve the problem of life. This is not exactly a phenomenon of our days. In the last 200 years, there is something which the French have called the illness of the century, boredom, a feeling that life doesn't make sense, a feeling of joylessness in the midst of plenty, a feeling of a general chronic depression one runs away from by using all the avenues of escape which our amusement industry offers to people. And I should like to say one thing, and that is that I think in this way we are in a process of converging with what the Soviet societies do. Indeed, the Soviet societies, in the name of socialism, did something under Stalin which the capitalist societies did 100 years ago when they had to accumulate capital briefly and quickly, except that then no direct political terror was applied, and that there was a possibility of men to think thoughts which protested against this way of life. In Russia, they did the same thing, called it socialism, applied terror. But I think it is quite clear that once the Soviet Union will have accumulated enough capital and can provide enough consumer goods, it can dispense with direct terror more and more, and it will come to rely on the same methods we are using, persuasion and giving the feeling which Huxley in The Brave New World describes as a slogan, "Today everybody is happy." We socialists believe that we are not confronted with the alternative between so-called capitalism and so-called communism, but that we are confronted today with the alternative between a managed, manipulated society of eventually well-clad and well-fed people who believe they are happy, who believe they are satisfied, and yet who fail in every essential aspect of human existence, who have become automatons, although they are under illusions that they are the ones who direct their lives. that we are confronted with the alternative of this kind of automatized, manipulated mass society and humanistic socialism. We believe that it is socialism and not the present form of capitalism, and certainly not the present form of Khrushchevism, which has a historical function of fulfilling in a new historical epoch the values and aims of our whole Western tradition. And I should like to say one thing. I believe that we are in danger of losing the reality, the faith in our values, that we are mostly talking about them, and that as a result we are losing our vitality as a nation and as a culture. And once a culture loses the faith and belief in its ideal, it will disintegrate either from boredom or by being conquered by the barbarians. There are plenty of barbarians around. We are in the tradition of the West, and we are in the tradition of America. And I should like to end this speech by quoting Emerson. Emerson said something which describes exactly the idea of Marx and of socialism. Today, he said, things are in the saddle and ride mankind. We socialists say, in Emerson's spirit, put man back into the saddle. Thank you.